All right, Kristen, it's the middle of a pre-election season, I guess you'd say.
It always is.
It always is. Isn't it? Isn't it always these days with this darn 24-hour news cycle? Here's my question to you. In terms of politics, do you consider yourself more a cynic or more of an idealist?
Didn't you just say recently, scratch a cynic and underneath you'll find an idealist?
Yeah.
Or alternatively, a hopeless romantic?
Yes, a hopeless romantic. But it's true, but idealism also.
I think I'm a little bit of both. I've definitely fallen hook, line, and sinker for certain politicians.
Oh, is that right?
For their oratory skills, for this idea that they speak for me.
Uh-huh.
I've totally done that. And I wish I could tell you a story now, but then I would come off as very partisan. But
yes, I know. I was going to
share my first voting story with you, but I'm not going to do it
here we are walking this strange line that we have to walk where we can't really tip our hands politically, right?
I don't think we're supposed to, even though this is public radio and I don't know. I'm not going to say anything else. I'll stop.
Stop right there, Kristen.
Are you a cynic?
I am.
I thought so.
Yeah, I know.
And just scratch that.
Is it that obvious? You know, here's the thing. I was born, to hippie parents, and I came up in, the post-60s, the 70s. I grew up, I think, in a culture of cynicism and distrust and paranoia, and that's my starting point. I didn't start out as an idealist and then become a cynic. I started out as a cynic, and it's tough, I think, to convert someone to the other, So I'm a diehard cynic. And of course, we're talking about this because of the Ides of March, the new political drama.
Starring George Clooney and Ryan Gosling, who's been in about 40 movies this year so far.
I know, he's on a hot streak. Yeah.
But before we talk about that, let's introduce ourselves. This is Kristen Meinzer, producer for The Takeaway.
And I'm Rafer Guzman, movie critic for Newsday, and this is Movie Date.
So we have the Ides of March. The Ides of March, where you get to see both the cynicism and the idealism of the voting public, of people who work on the campaign.
That's right.
This is a movie about a campaign as it's, is it in Ohio?
It's Ohio, yes.
Ohio governor who's running for presidential office.
That's right. So, yeah, Ohio Governor Mike Morris, that's George Clooney.
I like Mike.
Right, that's right. You can see the silk-screened Obama-esque posters of him in the background.
Oh my God, they look just like Obama.
with the word believe underneath, yeah, or Morris. So it's sort of there's some analogies to be drawn there. So he's a Democratic hopeful. Ryan Gosling is his press secretary, and Ryan Gosling is the true believer. At one point in the film, he says, I'll say or do anything as long as I believe in it. I remember there's another great line where someone accuses him of having drunk the Kool-Aid. And he says, I have drunk it, and it's delicious, which is a good line. And then, of course, there's a he even though he is an idealist, he does find time to sleep with a pretty intern on the staff, Evan Rachel Wood.
But he doesn't get too involved. He can still watch the 24-hour news cycle while having sex with her. Because you know what? He's married to the campaign.
He's married to the campaign.
And he says that more than once.
Correct.
He's married to the campaign. No time for a real relationship.
That's right. That's right.
A little hanky-panky here and there, but
right.
Yeah.
And also, Ryan Gosling, I love Ryan Gosling. And, he does have that funny moment where he is on top of Evan Rachel Wood with his head to one side watching the television. And, of course, she's sort of looking up at him and things start to fizzle a little bit. And he says, it's not you. It's not you. Which I thought was funny. And of course, I don't think we're giving too much away. It's hard not to give this stuff away. There is more than meets the eye to Evan Rachel Wood.
But maybe not more than you would expect.
Maybe not. Yes. Okay.
And why I say this is, I have, and I think most of the people in the public who love movies, who watch political dramas, kind of know there's a checklist of certain things you can sort of expect.
Right.
In a political drama.
Yes, there is.
And I could just, in my mind, while I was watching the movie, I'm like, oh, there's that check mark.
Right.
And there's
you were
that
ticking
one.
Them off.
There
yeah.
is that one.
All right.
I mean, do you have a little list, too, that you think everybody...
Yeah. Well, I mean, we could start with the very first one, right? Sex.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. A political drama. There's got to be some sex in there.
Got to be some sex in there.
Probably scandalous sex.
Scandalous sex. Sex with someone that you're not supposed to be having sex with.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely. And as we just said, Evan Rachel Wood, who plays an intern.
20 years old.
20 years old. Yes, that is correct.
Right.
And we all know about 20-year-old interns, don't we?
we sure do. We all know about them, don't we? Yes, yes.
We all know about them. So, check. Yes. That is
okay.
That is in the movie. And did you like Evan Rachel Wood?
I mean, yeah, I generally do like Evan Rachel Wood, and she is very sexy. There's a certain appeal that she has. I thought she was pretty good in the movie. I thought she was somewhat believable. You know, she comes on very strong to Ryan Gosling, but at the same time, so she seems, you know, you're not sure what age she is, and it's a shocker when she tells him that, you know, that she's 20. But later on in the film, I think it becomes more believable that she actually is 20 when it becomes clear that she's in over her head.
Mm-hmm.
She does start to seem younger and younger, and I thought that was kind of a nice touch on her part.
Yeah. So we have sex on our checklist. We have pesky press people. My list includes...
Yes.
You always have to have the pesky press people.
Yes.
In this movie, the big one is Marissa Tomei.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish the movie had more of her.
I know.
Oh, my God. She's so great. She's never not great.
I wish every movie had more of Marissa Tomei.
Oh, she's just... What is it about her that's so great?
I don't... I mean...
Partly she's gorgeous.
She's gorgeous. I think she's a great actress. And in this brief role, she's also very good as a New York Times reporter.
Yeah.
A hard-bitten New York Times
And I
reporter.
Love that they kind of try to make her look kind of like, oh, she has slightly messy hair and big plastic glasses.
Right.
And it's like...
Right.
No, you're Marissa Tomei.
You're still Marissa Tomei.
You're still unbelievably gorgeous.
Right. I noticed that shirt is unbuttoned a couple of buttons at the top there. Yeah. Yeah, but she's very good.
She's great. And yeah, there was a point, though, when I was watching her, I'm like, you know, it's kind of funny because in my opinion, she's, I don't know, what is it, 25, 30 years older than Evan Rachel Wood. And to me,
right.
she's like so much more gorgeous.
Yes.
I'm like, oh my God, she's so freaking gorgeous.
Yeah.
And she's supposed to play the hard scrapple, like,
right.
reporter. And
right.
so pesky.
Yeah, so pesky. So pesky. And self-serving and cynical and indifferent also.
All those things
that we all know journalists are.
Oh,
right.
I don't know what you're talking about. Right? What else do you have on your list?
Depending on what kind of political film you're talking about, but I feel like this kind of Ides of March template has become more popular, I think, in the wake of Aaron Sorkin, actually. Intense men saying intense things.
Oh, you need
right?
that.
You
yeah.
need that. You need that.
You know,
and I don't think that used to be as popular before, say, West Wing, and this whole idea that these movies were going to get us into the halls of power and show us the workings behind the scenes. But you definitely have to have intense men, and this has really the perfect cast, right? You've got George Clooney, Ryan Gosling, Philip Seymour Hoffman, and Paul Giamatti, all in the same movie.
All intense men.
Right.
Very intense
yes,
men.
Very, very intense. A few F-bombs here mm-hmm. and there.
Darth Vader music occasionally
yeah,
while they're saying those
right.
F-bombs.
That's right. That's right. And people often, saying kind of profound things as well. You know, revenge makes people unpredictable. Things like that.
Oh, yes.
So you got to have stuff like that in a movie like this.
Well, this gets to a point that I was going to bring up, which on my checklist, almost no women. It's really about dudes.
Yeah.
Is there ever a political drama that focuses on a female candidate?
The Contender.
I don't remember The Contender.
The Contender with Joan Allen. And I think Jeff
yeah.
Bridges as the president and Joan Allen. I hope I'm not mixing this up. Joan Allen as his vice presidential pick. Although, again, that movie centers on the possibility that she was in a sex scandal. But it was kind of interesting because it flipped the tables a little bit. And the movie does spend a great deal of time making you think, well, I'll be darned. Maybe she actually did have this wild, insane sexual experience that's going to, you know, that's going to destroy her candidacy. That would be kind of interesting.
Ooh, I want to see that.
Yeah, it's I don't want to oversell it. It's not a great movie, but I remember thinking it was a little different and kind of interesting.
Hmm. Okay.
So there you go. There's one.
All right.
one movie
with a female candidate.
Right.
Oh, this brings me to another point on my checklist, though.
Okay.
We're talking about candidates because a political drama, you might be in office, but you're always on the campaign trail.
Right.
And
right.
I think the campaign is a huge part of what we expect in a political drama.
Right.
Or what I expect.
Because the stakes are high, right? Because the stakes are high.
And part of that, you get to see both sides. You get to see the idealism, which we spoke of.
Right.
The fervent masses, the people who are on the campaign trail. And you get to see the cynicism, the crooked part.
That's right.
Writing the speeches and rewriting them so you can be more elusive when you're hit with a question you don't want to answer.
And right.
You get to see how the political machine works. You get to see how things might not always be, you know, on the up and up.
That's right. That's right. So we've got all these things. So I think the movie pretty much hits them all, don't you think?
Sure does.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now, from the tone of your voice, Kristen, I'm getting the sense that maybe you were not as pleased with this movie as...
I wanted to love it. I really... Mm-hmm. I think George Clooney is great.
Yes.
And I don't know how he's magically been able to do it over the years, but he's somehow become... Because I loved him on Facts of Life when I was a little kid.
Oh, right.
Just love that George
Clooney. I always
Clooney
forget that.
Facts of Life. And I remember just thinking, oh, I want more of this George the Handyman.
Yeah, the Handyman. That's right.
For the rest of my life, I want more of him. And... And lucky me, for the
lucky
rest of
you.
My life, he's been around. But it's amazing to see him make that transition and now being like Mr. Lefty director guy who, I mean, I loved Good Night and Good Luck. I love,
uh-huh, yeah. Uh-huh,
I love
that
so
was a
much
good
of
movie.
What he does. But I wanted this to be more like Good Night and Good Luck in that I wanted it to be shorter. I wanted there to be, I felt this movie had a lot of build up, but still moved really slowly and not more build up than action.
Yes.
And it was longer than it needed to be. I think that when he's efficient, he's better.
That's interesting you say that because I actually had the somewhat the opposite experience. The movie's actually quite short, which I guess doesn't speak well to it because you thought it was very long, but it's actually only a little over 90 minutes.
Oh, really?
I
thought it was, well, maybe they started it late at my theater because I looked at the clock afterwards. I'm like, oh, that was just shy of 2 hours. It was 7 minutes.
I mean, I think
they started it late in my theater.
I may have this wrong. I think it's maybe like 98 minutes. It's pretty short. And my,
it could have been 80.
It could have been 80. My problem actually was the opposite. I felt that the plot was so simple and rudimentary that when the film finally went to black and the credits rolled, I was stunned because I was waiting for the third act. I thought for sure this was going to be the moment. There's a shot of, you know, Ryan Gosling looking very, again, intense, you know, sitting on a stage somewhere, I think. And I thought that was going to be the moment when we would hear the plot twist that, you know, that the things that we thought we'd figured out, we hadn't figured out, that there was, you know, a loose end that still left to pull. And none of that came to be. It just, the movie ended and I kind of thought, wow, where's the second layer of that plot?
I know exactly what you're talking about. And I think we're actually having an issue with the same thing here.
Mm-hmm, maybe.
But what I felt, when I said I felt like there was a lot of buildup, I think that because of the buildup, it felt like there was supposed to be more after the big conclusion.
Exactly.
I think that's what you're saying.
Exactly.
And that's part of what my issue was. I'm like, well, why was there so much buildup instead of more plot? I felt like there could have been three major plot points instead of just like buildup.
Yeah.
Everything explodes, the end.
Yeah. Okay.
And I guess I just wanted more packed into that 98 minutes.
I think... Two, one of the interesting things about this film, I mean, you know, it's based on this play, Farragut North, and the guy who, the playwright, Bo Willimon, who also co-wrote the screenplay with Clooney and Grant Heslov, I think. So Bo Willimon, the playwright, worked on Howard Dean's campaign.
Oh.
And then very shortly thereafter wrote this play. And you can see a little bit of the Howard Dean This is also...
I felt the Howard Dean.
Did you feel the Deanness?
I totally felt it. I felt the fervor of the believers. I felt this... He was just kind of a great hope before there was an Obama.
Well, that's the other, maybe the other checklist point to tick off is the fantasy candidate, right? Mm-hmm. And it was funny because I was watching this thinking that, you know, here's George Clooney, the Democratic fantasy candidate, right? First of all, looks like George Clooney. Second of all, he's saying everything that that Democrats, you know, wish their candidates would say with no shame and total bravery, right? I am an atheist and the government should be secular. I am pro-choice. I am pro-gay marriage. I am pro, you know, I'm pro-taxes. Tax, you know, I think everybody should pay taxes. All these things he keeps saying over and over. There's even that...
The death penalty question.
The death penalty question, right, which went back to the Michael Dukakis thing in 88, right?
Yes.
So he gets to... Michael Dukakis wimps out on the death penalty question back in 1988. And now George Clooney gets to step back up and take a hard crack at that question again and knock it out of the park. So he's clearly the Democratic fantasy candidate. The problem to me with the movie is that he doesn't seem to me like Howard Dean, and he doesn't seem to me like Obama. He seems like Bill Clinton. We're going all the way back to the Bill Clinton era in this movie, back to the sex scandal, back to the pretty intern. And it just seemed like, I guess I just felt like, you know, that was all fun when it was happening, you know, the blue dresses and the perjury and the DNA, right? We were all up in arms about it and wringing our hands over it. And oh my God, did he or didn't he? And this, you know, isn't this delightful? This whole thing, you know, and all these questions about moral fiber and stuff. And that was all great. But I feel like, you know what? We've got real problems now. Like, the political landscape has shifted and advanced into some really worrisome territory. I mean, I feel like people are concerned about unemployment and the war and wars, plural. And people are, like, questioning the very nature of capitalism in America at this point, right?
Corporate bailouts, I mean, the idea that – I mean, there's so much right now going on.
There's so much going on. And this movie does not address any of it. This movie exists in, you know, 10, 15 years ago, and it seems very irrelevant to me, this film.
And I don't think there's any problem with the sex scandal. I mean, sex scandals still happen constantly all the time.
Yes, true.
But if they would have tied it in more with what's happening in the world.
Exactly.
And I think then it would have worked out better. We want this idealistic, great candidate to be president because we're all unemployed. We want him to...
Right.
Deal with real issues. We never actually see any of the issues in the movie.
No.
We never, ever see the issues. We see him on college campuses giving speeches.
Right.
We see him on Charlie Rose answering questions.
Right.
We don't actually ever have to confront the issues at all.
Right.
And he doesn't really talk about the issues.
No. And, you know, again, he ticks off some talking points, you know, but, and you're right. And that may be a function of the movie having been a play. So it still tends to feel like it takes place in small rooms, you know, for the most part, and not out in the bigger world. But again, you know, it felt so, even though I feel like there was some great acting and it's solidly directed, I think, by Clooney.
Yes.
But I feel like it existed kind of in a bubble and in an outdated bubble, you know. I did not need this movie to tell me that politics is a dirty game. I knew that already, you know.
Because you're a cynic.
Because I'm a cynic. Did you feel like this lifted the scales from your eyes, Kristen, this movie?
It did not.
No.
Because even though a part of me likes to be idealistic, I do like to. Mm-hmm. I know the truth.
Yeah, I know.
I know the truth. The movie didn't need to hit me over the head with it. It's true.
Right.
And at the end, I didn't think it was a great date.
Not a great date. Yeah.
It's an
underwhelming movie date, I would say. I think if you were to walk out of the theater with your date, I'm not sure you'd have that much to talk about.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
You and your date can actually leave about 25 minutes, probably.
That's right. Did you know that you can follow Movie Date on Twitter and Facebook? You can also give us feedback on the podcast and tell us what movies you want us to see next.
Log on to themoviedate.org to find out more. And thanks so much for listening.